This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So, you know, when I'm sitting in the congregation and Yaku or Carl or Theo, you know, the actual pastors of the church, you know, when they have a sermon, I oftentimes find myself thinking, but where did it originate? You know, where was the seed planted? And so I'm going to share with you where the sermon topic came from. But I also want to mention that, you know, sometimes it's difficult to articulate a revelation as such. You know, I'm sure many of you have had a revelation regarding a certain topic or idea or characteristic or attribute of God. And you're so enthusiastic, it so engulfs your mind, and you share it with a friend, and they're like, oh, yeah. You know, I've always thought about it like that, or something like that. You know, it's just not, it's, you know, when God personally reveals something to you, there's so much power in it, and it's so difficult to really articulate it. You know, our words fall so far short, you know, to really describe it. So I hope to a certain manner that I've managed to do it this morning. So this morning we're going to read through a lot of scripture. Okay. So it is biblical to read through more than three scriptures during a sermon. So we are going to go through a lot, probably at least nine. So if you have your Bible today, you're going to learn how to use it, because we're going to go back and forth. If you have an application on your phone, I hope your phone is charged. All right. So we're going to Leviticus 19. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" We just sang this magnificent song about the holiness of God. And each time we sing it and you repeat that word, holy, 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 it's like it builds on itself, you know, and just becomes this powerful movement. You know, it's such a magnificent thing. And to a large extent, we as Christians, we can't get away from this fact that there's a certain something in us drawing us to this place of being holy. But you know, when you read this part of scripture, it says, "You shall be holy." You know, and "you shall" is oftentimes not a, you know, it's not a word that we like. You will. You shall. You know, Raylene, I mentioned in the first service last year somewhere, she wrote a WhatsApp to a lot of people and said, "It is compulsory." And she repeated compulsory, compulsory, compulsory like three times. And, you know, there's just something in you that just kind of dislikes being told what you do. You know, we have this, we like our free will. But what we like even more about our free will is we like to implement our free will. You know, so we, when the Lord says you shall, you know we must. But, you know, just don't tell me what to do. You know, I don't know if you ever watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding. It's quite a funny movie. And at one stage, they want to, I don't know if you're familiar with the movie, but at one stage, the mother, her daughter wants to go a little bit. She wants to do, I can't even remember, something in IT. And but, you know, the father's very conservative. He wants his daughter to work in the restaurant. But they want to plant this idea in the father's mind so that he thinks he came up with this idea. And so the auntie and the mother, you know, they concoct an idea. And the auntie tells the mother, "Listen, yeah, tell me what to do, but don't tell me what to do." You know, and that's exactly how we are. You know, we want to be holy, we know, but don't tell me what to do. You know, we have this jorks position of this thought. But anyway, but we have this rebellious nature. And to a certain extent, you know, it does influence our relationship with God. So this is how I came to the topic of my sermon, but we're not going to talk about this at all. Okay. All right, because the thing that shocked me, well, not really shocked me, but just this amazing revelation that I experienced from the Lord is the following. Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And here's the shocker. Every one of you shall revere his father and mother. Every one of you shall revere his father and mother. The Lord talks about holiness, and then suddenly, as if out of nowhere, he talks about reverence for your mother and father. He doesn't first talk about sanctification or dying to yourself. And I just realized to myself, but this is not the first time I've heard it. This is not the first time I've seen this flow in the Bible. You know, they talk about the vertical commandments. You know, you will love your God, you will have no other gods. You know, all these relationship with God. And the first horizontal commandment is, you will honor your father and mother. Right after you will, your relationship with God, the next thing God touches is your relationship with your parents. And we'll dissect it a little bit this morning. But there's a direct correlation between holiness and reverence or respect for parents. And, you know, the first, I drew a couple of links, you know, because that's how my brain works. It needs to, if there's a correlation, there needs to be a flow and logical outflow of everything. And so I can't put the picture up because it's a bit weird. But anyway, so then I thought to myself, okay, where are these correlations? And first, we're going to go to Exodus 20. So just for you guys who have often said or thought, when last did I hear a sermon about the Ten Commandments? You can write it down, the 28th of April, 11:15, sermon about the Ten Commandments. All right. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So this is an obvious link. This is an obvious correlation. The law says so. That's how holiness and honoring of parents, how they intercorrelate with each other. Because the law says so. And by doing the law perfectly, we will be perfect, and then we will be holy. But unfortunately, immediately we think, but we cannot keep the law. And then you start thinking, but how, if we can't keep the law, we won't be able to keep this commandment, therefore we will never be holy. I think it's Theo that had a sermon regarding the topic of holiness, and one of the major aspects thereof is to be set apart. One of the main descriptions for the word holy is to be set apart. And this is something that the law teaches us, is that we as God's people, we need to be known by the way we honor our father and our mother. We are to be set apart from this world with regards to these ideas and perceptions regarding interrelationships between parents and children. But we need to be set apart with this idea that we will honor them. Christian children honor their parents. And this is a very obvious correlation. But then, you know, you need to delve in a little bit more and you think to yourself, okay, but what does honor mean? What does it mean to honor your parents? And the Hebrew word there is kabed. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but that's how it's spelled, kabed. And the word means to make heavy. So it doesn't mean you need to feed your parents continually so that they become heavy. It means that it's a matter of heaviness. It is a serious matter. It's something you cannot take lightly. And you know, I'm a parent as well, and I see all the parents just nodding their heads and say, yes, this is what I'm telling them. I'm happy you're saying it, because if I say it, they're angry. What? All right. Okay. So, link number two. Let's move on. From the obvious, we go to link number two. The next outflow of thought, like I said, I'm trying to just get my thoughts in a nice flowing matter. You know, you think about these things for days and weeks sometimes even months. But the next thing is I needed to think, but who is honored in the word? What does the Lord say? Who needs to be honored in the word? Except now, we all agree Jesus Christ and the Lord, the triune God, needs to be honored. But whom else? We can have a little bit of a chat about this, because you went quiet, because what's link number two going to mean? All right, who needs to be honored in the Bible? Does anybody have an idea?
People in authority.
Excellent. We'll start with that one. Anybody else? Any ideas? Sorry? The Holy Spirit, yes, part of the Trinity. Anybody else? Any ideas? Yeah. Marriage, husband and wife, beautiful. Husband, yes, husband and wives, excellent. Your neighbor, yes, you must honor your neighbor. Children and parents, excellent. There's one more. All right. Your pastor, yes. All right. Okay, so let's start. Who needs to be honored? Romans 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Sure. We came from a place where Exodus 20, we spoke about the fifth commandment, and it's the only commandment with a promise. And Paul tells us that in the New Testament. We're going to read through scripture in the New Testament as well. You won't believe me, but there's a lot. Romans 13 is the first one. But it's also the first and only commandment that is positively articulated. The others are, you shall not, or you will not. This one is positively articulated, but then we go to this governing bodies. And it says that you, if you resist, God will bring judgment. That's quite hectic, eh? That's not as wild. Hebrews 13, verse 17. They're talking with regards to leaders in the church, your elders. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over you, over your souls, so that those who will have to give account, as those who will have to give accounts, sorry. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. So if you hear Yaku moaning and groaning a lot, you must know that somewhere we're missing the plot as well. He doesn't moan or groan. All right. Ephesians 5, verse 20 and 21. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence of Christ, husband and wife. And the next one will seem a little bit obvious. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 4. Have you realized we've only been talking out of the New Testament? So this is not an Old Testament idea I'm sharing with you today. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in this land. The big question that comes out of all these are, is there anybody that can escape giving honor? There's nobody sitting here that is in a position where they can say, but I do not need to give honor to somebody. We are very quick to give honor to God, and yes, that is good and acceptable to the Lord. But here the Lord states, he's speaking about people. Is there anybody of you that can escape giving honor to somebody in authority? Nowhere does it state that they need to be honorable for you to honor them. The next part blew my mind a little bit, and it's maybe nothing big. The second part of the next part. Let's start with the first part. See, you must follow, eh? You must be awake when you get to church. Philippians 2, verse 5. We just came out of this magnificent time where, you know, we're just so overwhelmed by the goodness of Christ and how he died and, you know, how he was resurrected. You know, it's an amazing time in our life, just being reminded of everything Christ did for us. And here it states as well, verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And you know what? This is what we experience and this is what we strive. We want to be obedient to God. We're looking at Christ and we want this obedience and we yearn for this obedience and we truly work for this obedience. But I want to show you something that is spectacular. You know, we don't know a lot about Jesus when he was young. You know, mostly after he was 30, you know, those are when the most accounts, writings, the texts follow. But, you know, there's a very limited amount of information of when he was younger. But the Lord chose to put this in Luke 2, verse 49, and it says, and he said to them, just to give a backdrop, sorry, just so that everybody's on the same page, Christ, as a child, Joseph and Mary were on their way back to Nazareth. They thought he was playing with the other kids, and then they realized the evening, but he wasn't there. So he says, and he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And here it is, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. You as a teenager might think that you know a lot. Christ, who knows everything, all wisdom and knowledge. He knows everything, and he was what? Submissive to earthly parents. And you know what? You might think that you might have a better tactic than the government. Or you might have better ideas than the elders in church. Or you might have a greater plan. Or you might have a different purpose for your husband or for your wife. But I'm telling you one thing. Even though your tactic might be better, you need to be submissive. We're not only submissive to God, but we need to honor those that He has put in place for us. My question is, do you honor diligently? Do you honor even though the actions of that person or institute isn't honorable? You know, Jesus Christ lived in a time where the Romans had a lot of laws and stuff like that. And you know what? He, with all his wisdom and knowledge, could have went up to them and told them, you know what, this law, you know, that is only half truth. Let's do it like this and it would be better. He could have done it. But the Lord chose to be submissive, whether it's the temple tax or whether it is, you know, the laws of the land. God was submissive. I'm going to skip a little bit in my sermon because I want to get to the part that we need to renew our minds with. How do children know how to honor? How will your child know how to honor? Obeying. They see their parents do it. In the English, they say what they do is what is caught and not what is taught. It is your responsibility. They will see your actions. They will see your deeds. How will your child know how to honor you if they see you dishonoring your wife? What are they going to mimic if they hear you talking about your boss? How are you influencing their ability to do the fifth commandment if you're talking bad about your government the whole time, disrespecting? And this is the thing. This is the thing about the law. The law is perfect. The law is perfect, but you must understand the law is not something that we need to do by memorization. The thing with the law is it sets a boundary, but we need to understand that it is a way for that God uses to change the people of God's thoughts. The word says, do not covet. Jesus came and said, you know what? You may not have relationship with another woman. He says, you know what? Even if you think it, you've done it. He sets the bar higher. He says that, you know, in the Old Testament, you needed to keep the law and you will be without sin. And the Lord says, you know what? Romans 14, whatever you do not do in faith is sin. Everything. The Lord comes to us and shows us that, you know, you need to be changed. We don't need to teach our children the law. It does set boundaries, and boundaries is perfect because boundaries gives us freedom. That sounds weird, eh? But it's absolutely the truth. I commonly tell people that often tell people that, you know, I can take my child, I can leave him at daycare. Because you may not steal and you may not murder. If those laws weren't there, how can I leave my child with a stranger? Laws give us freedom. But you must understand that laws can't only be set for you so that you don't pass them. Because the thing is, if your child leaves his parents' house, they're not under those laws. They will decide to follow them only if they understood them. And this is what we need to understand. We need to understand that the law is there, not that we're under the law, but that the law is there for us to renew our minds with. To know that if you don't show your child how to honor parents, our husbands honor their wives and wives their husbands, if you continually showing disrespect to your boss or to elders in church, you're actually mimicking what this child will be like. And the ripple effect thereof is that God will judge. You understand what I'm saying? There's a deepness in this that we cannot overlook. And we as parents, it's our responsibility. The fifth commandment, Exodus 20 verse 12, is for the parents. Because Ephesians that we read just now, it says, verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And you know what? I feel ill-equipped. I feel ill-equipped because I know what is expected of me, but how do I do this? You know, but the Lord is so gracious, you know, He's so amazing with these type of things. It is like you're at work and you're going to get this promotion. Say your boss comes to you and say, you know what? Raylene, I think you've been doing such a good job. I'm going to put you into this place of authority. Say you were in IT and now he wants to put you into clothing manufacturing. Are you going to tell him, you know what, sir, thank you very much, but I don't really know what to do? No. You tell him, thank you, sir, I will do my best. And this is how I feel what the Lord says. He says, you know, I want you to do this. And all we need to do is say, Lord, I feel ill-equipped, but I am going to do my best. Amen. Okay, let's just read scripture so I calm down a little bit because I hear the levels on the mic is going a bit up and down. All right, Deuteronomy 6. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. The Lord spoke about His goodness and His holiness, and the first thing He goes to is, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Again, the Lord talks about holiness, and He talks about relationship between parents and children. He talks about His relationship with man and God, and then He gives this commandment about children and families. We cannot miss this. We cannot miss the exceptional importance of what the Lord is saying in His Word. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You know, I've got two youngest children. The one is turning 4 in a couple of months, and the other one just turned 2. And you know, initially, just prior to having dinner, we used to pray. We still pray, but we used to only pray. And it was a bit in my car. All right, so this holding of hands, closing eyes, you know, was common. It was often interrupted by wanting cool drink, or, you know, they don't drink cool drink, they drink water. But anyway, but, you know, having a bite of food and the other one doesn't want to touch the other's hand and stuff like that. It was a bit chaos, a bit chaotic. And then we started, okay, let's read out of the Word. So obviously, starting a bit short, parts of Scripture, and it went a little bit better. All right. Not magnificent, but it did go a bit better. And now, lately, we've started just worshiping. So I'm not going to stand in front and sing, and I won't ever be good enough to join the band. But you know what? We just start with a song. And it has changed our world. They ask questions when we read Scripture. They close their eyes. They hold hands. And is this changed? Something has changed. And I would just love to see the look in their eyes when they are at children's church and they recognize a song that we sing at home. They recognize the story that we read at home. Because this is what the Lord says here. He says that we must do it. You shall teach them diligently. Not some professional. Not your school. Not even children's church, but you. It's your responsibility. The Lord says you must lay it on your heart. And you must understand that that means there's two aspects thereof. There's respect and love. And respect, each has their own subcategory. You can do it through your actions and you can feel it in your heart. And the one can't be without the other. You can't say, but yes, I respect my parents, but then your actions speak otherwise. You can't have actions of respect, I'm going to follow this, but in your heart you mumble. You're disrespectful. These two need to be together. The same with your husband and your wife. You can't have actions that pertain respect to your wife, but in your heart you have unforgiveness. You can't say, but you know, I love my husband, but your actions say the contrary. It's written on our hearts because it's such a magnificent treasure that we may not lose it. We may not forget about it. We must meditate it. We must meditate on it. We must talk about it in our home. There must be a fragrance in our house of love. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. There needs to be a holiness there. We need to be set apart. When somebody walks into your house, they must know God has your heart. And this is how your child will recognize honor. Because they learn it from you. Louis Giglio said that he says the most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. What do you think? And I'm saying this to you as well. The most important thing about your child is what they think about when they think about God. Is he a big guy that only wants to rebuke and reprove? Is he this gentle soul that's just love and flowers? We need to have a biblical view, because if we don't teach our children what the Bible says, the world will teach them for us. Sometimes we are also students of the world, unknowingly. You know, the world has this idea about deity, and, you know, they say there isn't such a thing. There was a massive bang, and then fishes wanted to be birds, and birds wanted to be lizards. You know, everybody coveted whatever. But, you know, biblically, we have theism. We know of the triunity of God. You know, we know that God exists. The world comes and he teaches us about, you know, man. And the world says, but man came through evolution. And the Bible says we are special creation. You know, the world talks about truth and they say it's all relative. But the word says it's absolute. You know, and there's so many things. I talked a little bit of Afrikaans service, a bit too much about, you know, just certain facts, you know, regarding our faith. Simple things like the world says, how can all the animals have been in the ark? And the thing is, you don't read your word. It says that they're created kinds. It means there wasn't a bull mastiff and a collie and a Scottish shepherd hound and a Boston terrier and a bull terrier and a poodle and a pug. And, you know, it wasn't like that. There was two canines that had all the DNA information in them to be able to create all the species of canines we know today. Can you understand that? Anyway, so where was I? Ethics. The worldview of ethics. What is right and what is wrong? You know, the Lord tells us what is right and wrong. The world thinks it's cultural. You know, it's culturally acceptable to give bribes, to steal, because that's the way their culture works. The Lord says, stealing is stealing, my friend. If you steal to feed your family, and if you steal to be able to build a house in KwaZulu-Natal, the thing is, stealing is stealing. Us Christians, we have a way we react to that, yes. But we do not condone that which is wrong. We don't say that which is wrong to be right, as the word says. We don't say that is that which is right is wrong. We have ethics that is built on a solid rock. Luke 6, verse 40. Can I get some music? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. You are your child's teacher. Do you want them to become as you are now? Are there aspects in your life that you would rather save your child from? My advice to you today is work on that. Let the Holy Spirit move in you, change, because your child is going to duplicate that what they see. And that thing you dislike about yourself, Children have they have a very acute eyesight and sense of strange things. We come to a place of where we so easily fall way off the boat and go to a side of legalism, where you must this and you must that. And as I mentioned before, it is important for us. The law is there to be known. But we need to understand what is the heaviness thereof. It's not something that we must memorize. It's not something that we need to ritualistically do. It's something that we need to change. Be changed by your heart. Be changed by renewal of your mind, because we need to think differently. Because we know the cause and effect. You must understand why there's boundaries. You must not only know that there is boundaries. Please stand. There's a scripture that's always in the back of my mind. Because you would think yourself, yes, I don't dishonor people, respect comes naturally to me, and my children are older, or I don't have children yet. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. If you think you are standing on this subject and this matter, take heed lest you fall. And this is with everything in our life and walk with Christ, is that we've never come to a place of arrival. Your children were sent home with you. When you walked out of that hospital with that little one in your arms, nobody came running out and said, listen here, let's take them off your hands for the first 18 years. They were sent home with you. It's your responsibility. Don't let them hear things for the first time at school. Don't let them hear things for the first time at the friend's house. Teach them, or somebody else will. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Father God, that we know that you're almighty and that you are good. Father, that you've given us children and you've put us into positions where we need to bring honor to authorities and people that you've placed in a position, Father. And help us, Father, to be diligent with that honor, Father. Father, help us to discern what is right and what is wrong, Father, but to not let us justify disrespect, Father, just because, Father, we think we know better, Father. Help us, Father, to come to a place, Father, where we not only read the parts in the Bible that we like, Father. Father, help us, Father, to bring honor to your name. And help us, Father, to have this revelation of your word and your characteristics, your attributes, Father, and your goodness, Father. I just want to invite anybody here that does not know Christ, who does not know this person of Christ that died was resurrected and to reconcile us with the all-living God. If you do not know Jesus Christ, I ask you that you come forward. We want to pray for you. I want to pray for you if you have a bit of rebellion in you. You know, if there's a knowing better spirit in you, if I can call it like that, if there is in you this knee-jerk reaction to not submit, or if there's in your marriage, if there's something that you do or that you feel brings a wedge between your husband and wife, I want to pray for you as well. I want to pray for those that also feel that they are ill-equipped to teach and instruct and to disciple their own children. Because we need to pray together, because I need it also, so that we can raise godly children that honors the Most High. Thank you, Father God, that you will go with us this week, Father, and that thank you that you've written your commandments on our hearts, Father, and that those who love you will keep your commandments, Father. Help us, Father, protect us against the spirit of legalism, Father. But Father, just help us, Father, not to make light that which you've made heavy. Father, let us discern the weightier things, as the word says. Father, help us to know that honoring you and bringing honor to those around us is so vital and important to you, Father. Who are we to just move it to the back burner? Thank you, God, that you forgive us diligently, that you equip us, Father, vigorously, Father, and that you love us intensely, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.